Dude, I mean, you can edit it all together, right? Like
together.
Just splice it like a splicer, like... Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach. With me, wow, I haven't seen this guy in a long time.
It's been a while.
Ian Longway. You might remember my co-star on Damien Shadows.
You might remember it. Or you might remember it from the previous Ian Longway encounter.
Which was what?
2 years ago?
Did we talk on the phone or something to you?
I've been in New Orleans. We have, before you went to New Orleans, you have been to this exact spot. Maybe we were a couple of parking spots over, and we had a podcast.
That was over 3 years ago. Let me tell you this.
Oh, man. Yeah, it definitely was then.
August of 2014, I moved to New Orleans. Yeah. August of 2017, I moved back. 3 full years.
Wow.
We probably did that podcast.
And my birthday's in August, so.
Oh, my God. Look at this.
Getting all up in August. Like, Jupaloop? I got a Miller High Life.
Hey, we're having time. We were talking about Don Barris, who I am totally obsessed with. You are totally obsessed with.
Oh, my God. He's so good. He's a genius. I mean,
yeah.
Let's just be honest.
But I embarrassed myself the second time I met him. It was outside the Comedy Store. I have a joint just like I have now.
You're trying to share.
I know. Well, I'm trying to get it going.
I know. I mean, with Don Barris?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I was like, I thought you were like, hey, why don't you pass that?
Fucking share, bro. No, I meant with.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay. No, so I was, we were smoking weed together. I was like, this is fucking great. One of my comedy heroes, I'm smoking a joint with him. All of a sudden, some other guy comes over and he's like, hey, Don, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, hey,
did
big.
You steal your shit, dude?
No, he just goes, hey, come on. Hey, what's up, Don? And I go, hey, big customer. I just slapped his dick twice.
No. I was, that could get a couple of different reactions.
Maybe a little stoned, maybe a little drunk.
Yeah.
But
he didn't like it.
He did not like it at all.
No, yeah.
Well, I didn't know him.
His dick was touched.
I didn't know him.
Right.
I did, like, full on.
Like, hey.
Yeah, like, it's like I'm Harvey Weinstein. I reveal my penis through my robe. Like, he thought it was assault. So
you better be giving him a movie deal.
Basically. So then I got kicked out of the Comedy Store. But it was
really?
You got kicked out because of that? Not banned, but like you have to leave
that
now.
Night.
Yes, yes.
Oh, so you weren't on the sidewalk. You were like inside.
I was on the patio, the back hallway patio, back going to the belly room type of thing.
So he made a big fuss about it.
Big fuss.
He's like,
I'm a paid regular. You're a door guy. Kick him the fuck out. I have power over you. Like, he started.
Really? Oh, he said all that?
Not to quote, but that's exactly the scenario that unfolded.
Damn, bro. That sucks.
That was bad. I dropped the joint.
Down there. I got this.
Don't let it burn a hole.
Ow.
I got it. See, look at this.
Yikes.
Mm. So you
were kicked out that night, but and you then went back.
I went back. I went to Ding Dong Show. Everything was fine. He definitely knows my face because I went to Ding Dong Show a few times. Then, like, the next week, I saw him again, and he, recognized me and stuff. But he's a nice guy. And you said you went to his...
All right, you know, we all risk... We're all risk
takers in comedy.
You know,
he's like,
comedy,
sometimes you smack a guy's dick, you know, whatever.
I mean, you gotta, like... He is someone that should understand reaction comedy.
Right.
Like, that guy's reaction, I bet, was hilarious in an objective state.
Well, he didn't...
when you're not you tapping the guy's dick.
He didn't...
But, like, someone else is far away, it's like... That's hilarious. Like,
right.
This guy's probably a prick anyways. Like,
it wasn't a scene for him. It was like real life, like a real life assault. But for me, it was a scene.
But he made it a scene.
Right.
Right? Okay, see?
See, I was doing scene work.
Yeah, he was making it an actual scene being a dick. Like,
right.
Oh no, this guy touched my penis.
I'm assaulted. Oh, he touched my wiener. Ugh.
You know how many times my penis has been touched? By unwanted advances.
Let's talk. I wanted to ask you some questions, by the way. You posted a picture of you in Lake Tahoe on a jet ski. you know.
Yeah.
You know, slinging dick left, right, and center. I don't know what the backstory, the metadata of the photograph is.
You know, I felt like I was, like, working out enough of that time and knowing them, and I know I was knowing them at the time, friends that owned a jet ski. So, you know, once each of us got on there, we're like, take a picture, this is for Tinder.
Right.
Yeah, so it was actually a wonderful Tinder pic.
Oh.
But I tried to make Tinder. It look more douchebaggy for Facebook. So, well, yeah, so I was like super meta, you know?
Well, Tinder is an interesting app to use, you know, because you were trying to get me to hang out with you at the Abbey the other day, too.
Oh, dude, the Abbey is where it's at.
What do you mean?
By the way.
The gay club?
Well, it's... I don't know if you've been around WeHo, but right. The Abbey is the straightest gay club in WeHo. So every time... You know, a lot of times that I go, like I feel like I have more success with women, and I will say
with women. Okay, because, I'll just clarify.
Because I, you know, at this point, like, I've been there enough, I feel like I know the difference.
Okay.
You know, sharing bathrooms.
Oh,
you whatever, figured. Whatever. You know,
you've slapped enough front bottoms to go, hey, yeah, I think this exactly. is a
just
lad.
Like you, I've slapped enough dicks to know what dicks feel like.
So you get honked on at the Abbey. People just unceremoniously just grab
it's
you.
It's happened.
Yeah.
There was actually, I don't know, it's like a little flattering, you know, like right. There was actually a guy, you know, I've gotten a couple of those, like while you're walking by, like the butt pinches, like the little grabs, right?
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, I have no idea who just did that.
Right.
Like, someone just touched my ass.
Then you look away, and then, like, just a professional, he's already off to the side. You look away, three people are like, what are you looking at us for?
Right. And there was, I was getting through the dance floor. I fucking love the dance floor at the Abbey. It's always popping. And the DJs, like, especially on Tuesdays, is 90s night, so they do, like, 90s music and mix it in with, like, you know, pop songs of today.
Sure.
And you're like, oh, it's so good, right? You know, it's that fucking, you know, what you want to twerk to.
When Limp Bizkit's on.
Exactly.
Well, I guess it would be nice.
I did it all for the nookie.
And then you're like, oh, I remember high school.
Exactly. Yeah. You twerk on
when
the nookie.
When my boners would, like, were more aggressive.
Especially in the morning. Oh, God. So I'm walking to the dance floor, and this shirtless guy is like, hey, I'm going to suck your dick.
Whoa,
and I was
confident.
Like, oh, I'm sorry, man. Like, you know, I'm good. Like, I'm actually straight. And just going there, he's like, whatever. I'm going to suck your dick. It was like, oh, well, I actually think I'm, you know, I'm flattered, but you'd have a much better reception, you know, with other people around here. He's like, he just throws his arms up. He's like, whatever, man, I'm going to suck your dick.
It's got nothing to do
like,
with laws.
Okay, I
don't know what laws are.
I was
going to
keep walking
are.
Through here, yeah. And I didn't see him for the rest of the night, so that was good.
That was the most.
And that was, I was like, oh, well, I guess he's sucking my dick today. He was that confident. I've never been that confident in my life, so.
Yeah.
When someone's that confident with me, I'm like, well, I guess they're doing whatever they're going
to do. And you're like, you like go to sleep that night and you just hear like, oh, 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 oh. And then you're like, oh, what feels good? Yeah. Well, I guess he won. Well, he told me.
I mean, you know, you don't have to go further than that. You just have to say what feels good. And then it feels good.
So. Right. Boy. Well, we answered a lot of questions there. What have you been up to, man? Monkey Butler is disbanded. That was the improv group that I met you at.
Yeah.
We had some good times climbing that ladder to the at the top. Did we climb to the top?
I don't think we climbed to Jesus.
That's the problem with that group. It was like, it was a free group, and they had lots of church space, which was cool. But then,
I mean, they made some good calls, like Michael Seeloff and... Like, a couple of the people that were there, like, these guys are good. Like, I agree with them. Like, they're fucking good. Like, now they're working in commercials.
Well,
Super Bowl commercials.
David Magadoff, the runner of that thing, had his own MTV show for a minute there.
Wait, wasn't Oh, yeah. What is the guy that does the Street Fighter at the office bits? Holmes. Pete Holmes.
Okay.
Is that it? Right?
Pete Holmes?
He's actually good friends with David Magadoff. And, like, I remember hearing from him, like when he left to go to Texas or Austin or something, he actually, that's when he started blowing up a little bit. And then he got his own show, and he has his own show now.
So. Are you talking about the guy who does Crashing?
Is that the name of it?
Crashing.
I'd have to Google it.
Oh.
I don't know the new one. It was called The Pete Holmes Show beforehand. It was like an interview show, and then he did segments in between. But,
look, people know.
Your
people.
Audience is going to have to look this up themselves. Yeah. And
David Magadoff. 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 Yeah,
Devin Magadoff.
Definitely had one season of a sketch show on MTV that I saw.
It was like the Ben. Not Ben Silverman. Ben.
Hoffman?
No. The one that Andy Dick was on. Ben
Stiller.
Stiller, exactly. The Ben Stiller show.
Yeah, yeah. It was like one season. Yeah. And but good for him.
That was great.
So what else should we talk about?
All right. So
I've been growing weed. Right, you were up in North Carolina, right? Or North California.
Close. Because it is
California. Where were you? I'll let you tell.
Dude, I'll tell you where I was.
You were a farmer.
That was the... And I've lived in Parker, Colorado. That was the smallest town I've ever been in. It was like, you know, where we lived... It's like a house up on the hill, like in that country song.
Uh-huh.
Any country song, really, if you go back
well,
to
with
it.
Well, with Ben Stillsman and David Ben Stillstein. So yeah. They lived exactly. on a hill together, and they had four children.
And
so
Pete Hula.
Good for them.
Yeah. So where we were living, it was about a 25-minute drive to... There were only two bars... within a 25-minute drive, and they were on opposite ends.
Oh, wow.
So, like, if you wanted to go have fun, like, you were either going to the karaoke
right.
bar or the reggae bar, which it's not was like, actually a good one.
Not like WeHo, where you got Pump next to Rage next to Dump My Cum next to the yeah. Abbey.
Like, you're literally seconds from dumping your cum all over a city. Like, there you...
Yeah. Even the guys who check you in, it's like, party two? Okay, I'll suck all your dick.
And he did.
Windows? Shut up. All right, what was the name of this town?
This is in Calaveras County. So, Murphy's was one side, and San Andreas, and then... Oh, that's what it was. Murphy's? Yeah, and then San Andreas and Angels Camp.
Small little tri-county fair there.
Yeah, they were, like, literally in that entire area, like a, like within an, it would take one of the three policemen up to an hour to get to you if you were having any kind of trouble. And I guarantee you, there were meth heads around there, so
right.
there was some trouble happening.
So you were farming, you were laying down fertilizer and rows of weed crops?
Yeah, so actually where I was supposed to live was actually on this property where it was called the Butte Fire. It went just fucking tore through lands, right?
Oh, shit.
Made a bunch of people homeless, which sucked, clearly.
Fire. And,
yeah, a lot
rude.
Of fire.
That's
yeah. And so, fucked everything up. Where that land was where the fire went through almost halfway and fucked up the house, but didn't fuck up the garden. So, the lady that had that area, like, she was living in a trailer, and then there was another couple that was living in a trailer on that same property, and the garden was fine. All right, and that's, and she actually rented out the garden to us, and then my boss had another garden that she had had for like 2 years prior, right? So I was supposed to live out there, and this couple who were ex-meth heads, right, sober, but still had that like meth head mentality, and like when I met them and, you know, started getting to know them more, I was just like, I just really don't want to be on the same property as these people when they start to get wasted and like,
so they would still, you know, drink.
Rambunctious and shit. Yeah,
they would drink and smoke weed, mm-hmm. but no more meth. And but so, they had those meth things where they're like, why do you right. have like 40 bean bags in so, this trailer?
So the guy of the couple, he was an ex-veteran. And they were only like, they're actually younger than me. They were like 34, 35. I'm 36 right now. And he had, from what he and the girl said, PTSD. And she was not allowed to go off of the property with like out him knowing. Right. And so like, or else he would like, you know, his PTSD would set in and he would go into a rage. And there was one night where we like, so a lot of the stuff that was happening throughout the county was all like tax issues and like whether certain farms that had been doing it forever were allowed to do it again, and they denied people of, you right. know, that was like their whole livelihood of like, this is their life as like, you know, growing producing weed and like their family and how they've been. And all of a sudden, like once it became, you know, legal and like that whole county was like trying to ban it. Like, you know, the growing. So a lot of people were told that they couldn't do it. We were almost told that we couldn't do it. And then my friends, you know, they actually did a really good court case where they crushed it. And that's why we did it last year. But so one night we, they were actually like one of her friends, my friend was denied. And so we had one night to go over to their place and get as many, plants dug out of the ground, brought to our, place and put in, and then go back, get some more, you know, it was like an all night thing. Right. So, right. you know, my friend, the owner was, you know, thought it was going to be to like, you know, 10, 11, maybe midnight. Right. And then it ended up being like an all-night thing, and then we had to work in the morning just to, like, make those things survive, right? So there was, like, no sleep, right? So at 2 a.m. in the morning,
he starts getting the meth out. I got this whole trick!
No. So he actually works all through the day, and when he came back, she wasn't there, and she's always there, right? She was working with us. So, you know, for hours, a couple hours, she thought, you know, that she was getting back. She's like, I'll be back soon. And, you know, she wasn't able to. And, like, he just started getting more and more pissed. And so when by the time that my boss, she brought her back to the property, and the boyfriend comes out and is fucking wasted as shit, right? Mm-hmm. And he comes out, and he's like, you fucking sluts, you've been licking each other's coochies, haven't you, you fucking sluts? And he's like, what? What are you talking about? Calm down. He's fucking wasted. He's like, and there was another guy who's like in love with the owner, and, you know, it's a whole other thing. And I didn't even know, you know, so
in
I
love guess with he, that girl?
He, so he's right. Jewish, right? And so this guy was like, you know what? You've been out there fucking sucking Jew dick for $20 a pop while I've been fucking working all day and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And so that was like a whole thing. Yeah. And like, you know, then she couldn't live there for like a week and a half. Right. And then like finally they made up or whatever. And that's where I was supposed to live. And I was like, I don't want to live there. There's just too many ins and outs and too many possibilities that can happen there. And so
It's like he just comes home, the door is like ajar.
Dude!
Like,
and I could just see him blaming me for shit.
I smelled pop coochie. That means Vanessa.
I smell Budisi.
Vanessa's outside. So she probably sucked 500, 400
oh my God.
Dicks by now.
Jesus, so right. many dicks. If anyone doesn't know, I just spilled a little bit of beer on Eric.
That's okay.
It was a good reaction, though.
Look, I have a moist toilet ready to go. I have a little...
Clearly, you've done this before. I'm actually good on that.
All right.
I should probably...
What do you want? This?
I definitely want that. Yeah.
Okay.
And by that, I mean the towel. Not...
Probably up to 45 Jew dicks by now. She's at the karaoke bar. That's the only place you can get goddamn Jews in this town.
The Jew dicks.
Probably Barbra Streisand night down at the fucking karaoke spot.
But, you know, he had
PTSD,
so.
I felt like that about some of the girlfriends I had in New Orleans, but all my fears were justified.
Is this recently?
God. Listen to Highway Diary episode 160, and you'll realize the hell I went through. But I was dating one girl with a kid, right? And the kid goes to me one time, he's like, Eric, you know, I think Mom would like you better.
How old is this kid?
Six. And I'm dating her for like 8 months when he says this. He's like, you know, I think Mom would like you better if you had like long hair and you play guitar and you drank out of a flask. I was like, well, is that what your dad's like, you know? Is that what your dad's like? Because I knew he had this Arkansas dad, you know? But he's like, no. I'm like, who's that like, kid? Who's that like? He's describing the dude that she's cheating on me with. Like, in his mind, he's like, oh,
I'm trying to save this guy. Right. Like, yeah.
Like, this guy, Eric, takes...
Good guy, yeah.
You know, he teaches me how to swim.
Yeah.
I taught him how to do karate.
Yeah, this guy barely...
You know?
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, maybe if Eric gets a guitar, Mom will stop sucking Rufus, the fucking deadbeat
bass player.
Dick every night. How'd you know? He's a musician. That's all I knew about him ever. That he was a musician, like fucking 68% homeless musician, you know? And so he's like, Eric,
he must be really hot and talented with his guitar.
You know? But it's like, I don't know, I just feel like maybe I'm just jaded, but I think like a lot of girls in America.
Oh, we're all jaded, definitely. Yeah.
Their brains are broken, you know?
I mean, all of our brains are broken because we've broken each other by now. Like, all the girls that are doing this to you, like, they've been broken before.
Yeah,
probably.
I know.
Like, and it's just a fucking vicious circle.
Just keeps pushing
forward. Just keeps going.
But, like, when you're nice to it, like, I was, you know, with this girl, I saw her kid every Wednesday. We had man time every Wednesday.
Yeah.
Then I saw her, you know, on the weekend and stuff. Well, them all together and stuff. But, you know, it's like, I feel like when I was being nice to her, she's just like, boring, you know? Then I actually got locked up for some reason. Look, when we were dating for 2 months, I hadn't met the kid, you know?
Okay.
And I get locked up because a fucking meter maid mistook my staple gun with a handgun, right?
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. I'm in Orleans Parish Prison, okay? Because the cop threw me in jail because he's completely retarded. Detective Williams of the 5th District Police Department is basically retarded. And he has PTSD and he's unfit for the job. And he threw me in jail with a staple gun. But I'm saying is, based on the testimony of a meter maid who was 99% retarded, and her mom is basically 100% a mongoloid.
Not just the internet term retarded.
No, I mean like retarded. Like, her mom has like a massive fat forehead. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. But I saw her mom 100 times because she showed up to all the court's proceedings when I made her look as retarded as she was. But, but
can I just say one thing? I love this beard.
Oh, thank you.
The whole thing. Like,
oh,
I haven't seen you since.
Shaved top. Yeah.
Yeah, I know, right? It really works.
Let me just finish the story, though. Yeah, but okay, thank
I'm
you.
Sorry,
I am dead sexy.
I just had to put it in there. You know?
Yeah, I'll pinch your butt at the Abbey one night.
Just do it tonight. And then I'll be like, I have confidence for the next 2 months.
I'll suck your dick, though. Trust me. I'll suck your dick.
fucking dance. But, you won't get through this dance floor until that dick is sucked. That's what I felt like. Okay, continue.
I've been dating her from January to mid-February, Yeah. Don't see that. No, actually, probably December 2015, January 2016 type of time frame.
Yeah.
I get locked up January 22nd, right? I'm always, while we're dating, I'm like, hey, let me see your kid, you know, that'd be fine. She's like, I don't want him to get attached if you're not going to be around type of thing, you know?
Right. Like, well, yeah, okay. I got to make sure, yeah.
So then I get out of jail, you know, and who's waiting to see me? My girlfriend and her kid. And I'm like, nice. What? You know, she only let me see her kid when Uncle Eric is locked up. When Uncle Eric is getting perfect grades at grad school, getting my master in screenwriting.
Boring.
Boring. Yeah. I got a scholarship. Oh, you're locked up? Here's my kids. Here's the key in my house.
Let me ask you this thing. Did you have that look when you got put into prison?
Yes. I was probably wearing the shirt.
All right.
Why, you think I have more of a biker look?
Like, I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like, it's definitely a more badass look than the last time that I saw you. You know, like, you know, it works.
More just straight, generic white guy.
I mean, like, it is, like, the perception, you know, like...
Right.
With the bald head and the fucking, you know, good beard...
Thank you.
It works. I mean, hey. Boy, you know, and like, and just knowing from past experiences with, like, you know, females that like a certain type and like a more badass, rugged man, right. Like a guy that looks like you that gets put into prison. Right. Like, you're like, they're like, ch-ch-ch-ch.
Whoa, my vagina. Way. Yeah.
It's a little tingly right now.
Well, it's a good thing I'm doing this mass mailing. I have all this moisture I can just hold onto these envelopes.
Know, like, not even knowing what you did, but, you know, you're not going to, like, prison, right? It's just like, you went to jail.
I went to Orleans Parish Prison. I don't know.
For how long?
Dude, I was next to murderers and... Oh, just 24 hours.
Okay, see, yeah.
Yeah.
You weren't there. Yeah, you weren't so there for like a year or
Can I
more,
tell you about my favorite guy I met in jail?
I would love to
so
hear
I'm
about this guy.
Sitting at the mess hall. I'm like, hey, buddy, what are you in jail for? He's got pink hair. He's like, I stole my sugar daddy's Jaguar! I was like, really?
The sugar daddy fucking tattled on him? That's fucked up.
No, so I go, let me just remember the story. I'm like, why did you, how'd you get caught? And he's like, well, his wife got really pissed off when I took the car. Okay. I was like, he's got a wife? He's like, yeah, he's really rich and stuff. I'm like, what do you do for a living? He's like, oh, he owns some insurance conglomerate in London, and they had offices in New York and Boston. I'm like, okay, cool. He sounds like he's doing well. Oh, yeah. He's like got almost $1 trillion. I'm like, what the fuck?
And he got put into prison because he got caught by the wife?
I go, so what? Why did you steal the car? He's like, well, my sugar daddy went to the loony bin. They locked him up in the insane asylum, so I figured, fuck it, let me take his car. So I drive it down the freeway. I go pick up my friend Rufus, and I say, let's go do PCP in Shreveport. I got the Jaguar. So I'm driving on the I'm driving on the highway. All of a sudden, my phone rings. And they go, hey, is this Jemiah Miles off? And I said, is this Pete Holmes or David Maginoff? And I say, yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. And they go, where are you going, son? And I go, I'm going to do a bunch of PCP and Shreveport. But then I found out that was the cops on the phone. And I just told them everything. So then I got arrested in Shreveport.
So he told them on the phone.
Yeah, they called. The wife called.
Yeah.
They said, this is his number.
Yeah.
Call him. He stole this Jaguar, you know. Yeah. Call it. So they call up, and he's like, I'm getting fucked up in PCP in Shreveport. I'm at the corner of Basin and Lassen Street. Right?
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, cool, we'll send a car. And then he's like, oh, fuck, I'm arrested.
That's the shitty part when you give them your all location the information. And all the information. And then they catch you. You could have got away from that.
Dude,
PCP, I feel like, does it make you more honest? I haven't done...
Probably speed job, right?
With your honest answers. Like, I'm over here.
And my dick is half hard. Let's see, I have four
it's
beers.
It's like a dummy. You ever the crash test dummies? So my dick's like, it's like hard, but it's flimsy.
It's kind of like one of those inflatable things that mm-hmm. waves outside of a used car lot.
What are those things called?
You know, the big thing. The big smiley man's.
Go to the smiling man's emporium.
All right. Okay, so I thought I was going to get raped in jail for a second. So
it was only 24 hours, though.
They work quick.
So I feel like they have to at least steal your lunch first before.
That's, a little hazing for the pre. Little
yeah, exactly.
Little cock teasing before they put right. it in. No, so I get. I'm in an orange jumpsuit, and I'm walking with my mattress to my jail cell, walking.
Yep.
And they start going, fresh meat, here it comes. Look at this fresh meat. Here he comes.
To you? But, oh, no.
As I'm walking, that because man. They know what bunk I'm at because it's the only empty one. And so I put up my bunk, and I blah, yeah. blah, blah. And they're like, oh, look at here, fresh meat here. Hey, why don't you come sit over here? And I go, I thought I ordered, like, the not rape wing, and then they all laughed. And I was like, yes.
Oh, sweet. Comedy saved my life.
And yeah. then we just played fucking cards all night. And,
that's awesome.
But after I called my dad crying on the phone in Jersey.
saying, I'm definitely getting raped tonight, Dad.
I was like, it's not good. I'm going to catch a bum and dad. They were saying fresh meat when I came in.
Oh, no.
Well, before the phone call happens, imagine you're my dad, okay? Ring, 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 ring.
Okay, I'm going to be
pick
your
up
dad,
the phone,
yeah.
right?
Hello?
Doo-doo-doo. This is a Orleans Parish prison. Call from, Dad, help! Do you accept the charges?
I accept the charges.
That's how this, you know, it's like a recording. And I was like, Dad, get me a lawyer, call the judge, get everybody.
Was he was worried about you?
Oh my God.
Oh man.
Dude, it was rough. I can't.
What did you do? You haven't told me this.
So time. I was putting up posters for a comedy show in New Orleans. And I'm staple gunning them.
That was dangerous thing ever, yeah.
Staple gunning to telephone poles. Like, yep. that, you know what I mean? But, like, all up and down Elysian Fields,
sure.
which is the main strip of New Orleans.
You did it around a rich area.
No. So I get, no. I'm doing that. I see someone fussing with my car. Mm. Now, I also know that parking is free after 8. But because it was Mardi Gras, because it was going to be Mardi Gras, they pushed it to 9. So I think I'm good parking there. So I see someone fussing with my car. So I run over to my car. I'm going, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? I see it's a meter maid. And she goes, oh, I was going to give you a ticket, but now I'm not. Now I'm not.
Oh, you're like, cool.
She all walks away. So I'm like, all right, fuck you, bitch.
So I go to, that's good, right?
So I go to Magazine Street. I'm putting up posters on Magazine Street. I got a phone call. Ring, ring. This Detective Williams of the 5th District Police Department. Okay. I need you to turn yourself in. For what? You just held up a meter maid with a 9mm handgun.
What?
That's for sure. The staple gun? Are you talking about the staple gun I had in my hand? I'm putting up posters. That's, what? Where's the fucking gun, man? If you don't turn yourself in right now, we have a warrant for your arrest. We're going to kick your fucking teeth in. We know you go to the University of New Orleans.
Holy shit.
How would you like
shit.
Us to drag you out of your fucking apartment with in front of all your friends? Turn yourself in within the hour.
Wow.
I was like, what? Okay.
And you brought the staple gun, right?
I brought a poster. Like... I had one poster left. And, well, maybe that's not true. Maybe I had 10 or 12 left. But I have, and I go, I think, okay, I got my license. Luckily, this poster has my name on it, right?
Yeah.
So I go up. It says, hosted by Eric Hollerbach.
Yeah.
So I run up. I go, this is my license. This is my poster. How do I have this printed poster right now? I came right here after your fucking phone call.
Your threat.
Why do I have this? Why do I, this is a staple gun. Here, dust it for fingerprints. I guarantee fucking to you,
hilarious.
My fucking fingerprints
this
are all over that bitch.
Hilarious.
All okay. over it.
Okay.
And he goes... you got the right to remain silent. Anything you can say will be.
I would put that
you.
Shit on my head and then walk in the police department. Be like, with the hands up, be like, the weapon, quote unquote, is on my head right now. I have the papers that I was stapling. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
So then I, you know, thrown in jail. They give me an orange jumpsuit. They give me a little toothbrush kit. They take all
just
my
to
shit.
Just to scare the shit out of you, of course.
Oh, but you realize what it's like to be arrested.
Yeah.
The other thing about this jail is the TVs were on 24 hours. So I literally did not sleep because they're on like full blast.
And like in your rooms?
Rooms? That would have been nice. Fucking basketball court with fucking 200 rapists and cots, dude.
Are all of them rapists? Or
one guy stole his sugar daddy's Jaguar. I know that for sure. Yeah. One guy killed a dude. All right.
Yeah.
So it was just everybody.
This is like the halfway point to where either you're getting free or you're going to prison for life.
Maybe.
And
I don't know. It was like, Orleans Parish Prison. I think people were in there for years. I'm not like
in that
the room. Yeah,
dude, that would suck,
dude.
So how did you get out so fast?
Well,
your dad had money.
Well, he's got enough money. When his dad, when his son is saying he's about to get raped, he's got that kind of money. Let's just say that.
He's got my son is getting raped money.
Yeah,
to get
he hasn't got no extra shit. Wow. Let's not get it twisted.
No. But enough to save his offspring
from
getting toe up.
Ugh. And then he visited a couple times coming down for the court hearings, you know?
Yeah.
And I tried at one point just to go talk to the meter maid. Like, I see this lady in court week after week. First, there's
you've seen her a few times. Like,
there's a status hearing, then a discovery hearing, then a trial date, then a. These are all meetings I had to go down to court You know, I'm going to court. We set your trial for this. We set your.
Yeah.
Wait, what's the evidence presented? Both lawyers give the evidence, blah, blah. Just time. At one point, one of these days, my lawyer didn't show up, which was really annoying. And so I'm thinking, look, I came all the way down to the fucking court. Let me just talk to this bitch directly for like 4 fucking seconds. You know what I mean? Because everything is done procedurally. And I was just like, listen, can I just talk to you for a second? She did not know that that was a staple gun. Through all this court proceeding, she thought that it was a gun. And she's never even heard the other side of the story.
Oh, wow.
Because
she's just coming into court dates. And
getting dates and waiting for hours. Right. So, you know.
And she could probably call it all off.
That's what I'm thinking.
That, like, yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. If I just go, listen, you're not going to believe this. Can I just tell you my story for 5 seconds and then hoping she's going to dismiss the charges.
Yeah.
Your Honor, you know, I just talked to him. It was a crazy misunderstanding. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's.
You told your lawyers this, right?
Like, of course. But we didn't get the trial. We had no trial at that point.
Okay.
There's no point to even explain. It's like 3 dates before the trial, you know? So at the 3rd date, I'm like, let me just talk to this lady.
Just catch her at the water fountain.
And I go, hey, look, can I just talk to you for a second? And she goes, we ain't talking about stuff. And then her mongoloid mom, who can't even, like, walk, she can't even, like, stand, is like, get away from her.
Oh, God.
Like, her forehead's like this. Oh. It's like she's got a pumpkin in her forehead.
Okay.
And,
poor woman.
And I'm just like, I have perfect grades. I started feeling like really like
attacked.
You know what I mean? Like, I have perfect grades. I do everything right. And a bunch of retards are sending the smartest person they'll ever see in their life to jail. And I don't get to say a goddamn word to fucking anybody.
Did you say it was a staple gun?
No, I was like, can I talk to you for a second? That's all I said. Get away from her.
So and then the bailiff
started looking at me like, yo. You know, I'm just like, oh, fuck my fucking.
It was a staple gun. Like, I would honestly, at that, I would get down on my hands and knees and be like, it was a staple gun. I am not a threat.
Because
you're a little fucking mongoloid.
Yeah, I'll just
let
you
out.
I'll lick your pussy. I'll lick your mom's pussy.
I wouldn't do that.
All right.
I don't know if I'd do that.
I wanted to be confident like that guy. He was going to suck your dick.
Oh, yeah.
At the Abbey. Confidence.
That guy.
See?
Dude, it's that confidence.
Come full circle. Like, if I just showed.
If I'm confident in my begging skills, then.
Exactly.
I could be out of there.
I could have. If she's really dumb, I could look that mongoloid in her weird one good eye and just fucking convince her, you know? Anyway, I guess that's... I did a lot of stand-up in New Orleans, too. You know, that's what I was really working on.
That's why you went into prison. You literally had like a... Like, that was a sacrifice for your comedy.
For my craft.
Yeah.
I went to jail. I almost took a raping for a poster.
From a guy that stole a Jaguar.
No, it was it was his rougher
the whole
friend.
Leather.
He was the bitch to the guy that wanted to fuck me. Let's just say that.
Okay. That was the guy that was like, fish.
Yeah.
And then you played cards with him.
Well, because I just showed him. You just got to call it out. You got to go, I'm not scared. That's really what it is. But when
my asshole is puckering as we speak, but I am not scared.
But Ian, that's what it is. It's prison rules, you know. It's like when we go to this guy, fresh meat. Is he gonna crack? You know, is he gonna go? Because then they are gonna leave. Just suck out your dick. Leave me alone.
Just give me one moment by myself.
Let me just cry this out.
Sure,
all
right.
Yeah. you know, but. Yeah. So I just said, yeah, I think I ordered like the not rape wing. And
yeah,
then,
that's a good line.
And then I made friends.
It's like, motherfucker, you can't order shit in here, you son of a bitch. that's funny.
The food, though, was so bad. I can't even tell. It would be like, imagine two thick pieces of bologna. That's steak.
Are we still talking about the food?
Yeah.
Okay.
Imagine like getting like a bologna steak. Okay.
Okay.
And then like
bologna steak.
Like a biscuit.
Like Oscar Mayer bologna?
Yeah. But like cut thick.
Like a span?
And then like kind of fried.
Okay. And
it's just like, you
know, that's what you get.
Creamed corn.
Okay.
And then like a biscuit.
Yeah.
I mean, woof.
It's enough.
And they give you water, and then they have these, like, fruit punch, like, Hi-C or whatever, fruit punch mixers. Yeah. There is a chemical in that shit, dude. There is some kind of, like, high level of fluoride. Because I had a little fruit punch or Kool-Aid. I felt fucked up. Really? There is a chemical in that. That's all I'm going to say about that, but...
Like, as in, like, a kind of like caffeine
a,
fucked
no,
up?
No, like a... You feel lethargic, you feel like...
You just watch TV all night.
Or just depressed.
Yeah.
Like fluoride or something. Like a high level of fluoride. But anyway. So that was... I had a
Damn,
piece...
that's an experience.
So
right
I also
there.
Had a piece band. So you remember I was telling you about the girl with the kid. I wrote a piece for class called The Hippie Texas Yoga MILF. That was based on my experience dating this girl with a kid.
Yeah.
And my professor banned it. And he said, we're not going to read this in class. It's chauvinistic. It's misogynistic. It's,
all
you
the
know,
nistics.
All the nistics. Then he's like, you know, you have a picture of you and the girl and the kid. And then you're talking about eating the girl's pussy. You know, you're talking about... you know, giving the kid karate lessons. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll take a medal now, thanks. Like, I'm eating the mom's pussy and I'm giving them karate lessons. Like, what's your problem? You know what I'm saying? But he's like, you're bragging about tagging a MILF. I'm like, if I was bragging, I wouldn't be teaching him to swim, you fuck.
Yeah.
But some college professors, like, really are into the PC thing. So I brought it to, I won't name that professor, but maybe I will later. But then I brought it to another professor called Eric Hansen, who was my, I was in a class with him. He's my major thesis screenwriting professor, and we read it in that class, and then I wrote, but like nobody had a problem with it that read it in that class. So I was just like, fuck you. So I took it to another class. They read it. They all liked it. They thought it was interesting, and we talked about it. But I'm still...
Something. Like, it was at least enough to, like, have a discussion about.
It's like okay,
why
oh, you're mad?
Just not do
Dude,
it at all. Like,
exactly.
Just read everybody's shit and then
no,
talk about
like,
it
No, it's like, no, let
like,
the girl with the hairy legs tell me why I'm a fucking chauvinist all class and feel like a hero. Okay?
Yeah, but exactly.
To like, not have the conversation, I think it was draconian.
Exactly, yeah. Like, at least, like if someone were to... have a strong opinion and tell you off, you could take it. Like, you would be like, that's your opinion, you know.
With open
arms. And then this is the reason why I wrote it, and hopefully you understand this is why I wrote it because I thought it was this way or funny or whatever,
yeah, like,
right?
Like college, you know?
Like open thinking, like where everybody has their own thought process. And, you know, you got to at least be open to hear it.
But let me tell you,
you not agree with it, but
I walked into class early and he was totally just flirting with the hot girl in class. And it's just like,
yeah,
he's a schwarmy asshole.
He's that the nice
would,
guy.
That would white knight, that would... What right. Virtue signal, that's what Joe Rogan talks about, virtue signaling. These people, these like bitchy guys that want to get girls by saying, oh, I'm a male feminist.
Right.
Virtue signal that they're of a higher moral compass, and that's how they get girls, you know? But that's what he does, because he goes, oh, you're misogynist, we can't even read this in class. And then the hot girl comes early, and I come early to class, and he's like, he's early, like, you know, hey, shrama, shrama, ma. And I'm like, what the fuck, you know?
Yeah. And then just give it to her and be like, what do you think?
Anyway, Richard Goodman is his name, and fuck that guy.
Okay.
But Eric Hansen, Henry Griffin, Joanna Leake, these are really, really solid teachers. Okay. But
I mean, you're always going to have a bad apple teacher.
I'm just
teacher.
Talking about
I had a couple bad apple teachers oh, yeah? you know, back in the day, yeah.
Where'd you go to school?
University of Central Florida. A couple good ones. One specifically, I remember the costume lady was like that type where when she was in high school and middle school or whatever, like she was probably made fun of like by, you know, quote unquote cool kids or yeah. popular kids or whatever, or, like people that intimidated her, and grew up to where like people, not even cool people, because I am like the biggest dork. But because, like, you know, I made people laugh or whatever, like, she viewed me as someone that was, like, part of the...
The problem.
You know, the cool clique. Yeah,
you get that, social acceptance.
That made other people, like, feel bad about themselves. Yeah, like, I... You know, she just gave me, like, shit all year. And, like, and I'm like, I don't understand, like... Everything that I have done before, like, worked for other people.
Yeah.
But every little thing that I do, like, does not... This lady does not like me at all. Like,
dude.
You know, and I guess, you know, that's actually another lesson to learn after that is not everyone is going to like you. They've all got their own things. And if you remind them of someone that they hated before, they're going to hate you regardless. Like, clearly you... probably reminded this professor of someone yeah. that stole one of his girls before, maybe, or like, or you know, fuck, you know, that
yeah, or
you
just
know,
like
it was like a boyfriend after a girl that like he really liked or whatever, you know,
and he was from Jersey. And then he hears my accent, and he's like, fuck this guy.
Are Jersey people more racist against people of their own jerseyness?
We just
you have a different accent than me. Hey, I got a different accent.
Fuck, I just smell it like a cockroach. Yeah. You know? But let me tell you a story about a professor I had at the new school. Mm-hmm. I can't remember her name at all, but she taught French poetry. Mm-hmm. Do you know who else was in that class with me? Is Paul Dano. Paul Dano of There Will Be Blood fame.
Oh, wait, the preacher from that?
Yes.
Oh, he's so good.
So, yeah. Fuck that guy. So he was in my class. Oh, really? So he was in my class.
He looks like he might be a douchebag, but he's a good actor. Okay, continue.
I beg to differ.
Okay.
He made continue. Another movie with his...
He's made a couple of movies.
But one of them that he like wrote or directed and produced, and he was just the shittiest movie of all time because he's a fucking hack retard. Anyway,
opinions.
But okay, so this is what pissed me off about that teacher. She loved him and she hated me so much. So he goes one day, he's like, oh, I have to take like 4 weeks off of school because I have to go film a movie with Steve Carell. Oh, it's a little thing called Little Miss Sunshine, right? He Good takes movie. 4 weeks off.
Yeah.
Terrible movie. He takes 4 weeks off.
Really? I'm you just... thought that was a terrible movie?
Continue. Be on my side!
Okay, I'll
be on my side.
All right, fine.
What, you horror. Don't know anything about loyalty?
I just like that movie.
Well, first of all, there was a girl in the class that I had the biggest crush on. This was my early, my first semester, sophomore year.
Yeah.
And I totally liked her. She totally liked him. Okay. Then the teacher, she totally hated me, totally liked him. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, so he just like had this way with all the girls in the class, even the fucking teacher.
He's a cute looking guy, right?
She fucking creaming her jeans every time he showed up. So.
Okay. So clearly he won that round.
So then, okay, so in our syllabus it says that participation is a big thing. Participation, homework, bah, bah, bah. Yeah. I made sure I never missed an assignment, I never missed anything. Everything I got was a B in that class.
Okay.
This guy takes 3 weeks off. I'm filming Little Miss Sunshine, getting cooters wet on the big screen. Okay. Yeah. So he leaves for 4 weeks. He comes back. You know what he doesn't do? Talk. You know why? Because his character didn't talk. So he's Meisnering his acting because his character in Little Miss Sunshine didn't talk. He's showing up to class not talking. I'm going, the syllabus says participation, but the fucking teacher's cooter was so fucking a sprinkler. So she didn't give a fuck what he said or did. He was A's in her book. You know? So, it came to a head because the final project was we had to do a 3-minute performance of poetry. Okay. It could be song, it could be comedy, any kind of spoken word, any performance. 3 minutes.
Did it have to be your own or could you do a cover? It
had to be original.
Okay.
So I say, hey, I want a piano. I was really into Zach Galifianakis' Comedy Central special at that time where he would play a piano and he would do his jokes.
Oh, it was really good, yeah.
So I was like, hey,
whenever I hear that, I hear Zach Braff for the first millisecond. Then I'm like, oh, Zach
Galifianakis.
The one who does Zach Braff, I'm like, why would you be
the Scrubs guy?
Oh, okay, Zach Galifianakis. That's
so
I admiring him.
Practiced my whole piano thing in this one rehearsal room that I got to go to. I practiced this whole thing out with the piano.
Yep.
And I go, we're going to perform at the Bowery. There's a piano there. And she goes, yeah, there's a piano there. I go, cool. You're sure? She goes, yeah, I'm sure. Right?
I'm going to go.
So we fucking show up to the thing. And she sets the order. And she goes, Eric, all right, you're up first. Trying to get me out of the way, you know?
Yeah.
I go, where's the piano? She goes, oh, I guess there isn't one.
Oh,
and it's like,
damn.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
But so I'm like, all right, I guess I'll just do my jokes. So I just did my jokes. I got a mediocre response.
Yeah.
Okay, next up. My cooter's wet. Oh, that must mean it's Paul Dano's turn to go. Paul Dano, literally. So I do 3 minutes of jokes. 3 minutes. In the syllabus, it says you're supposed to participate. In the syllabus, it says perform for 3 minutes. After 18 minutes of Paul Dano singing songs.
18 minutes.
I left. I think his first song was Your Cooters Be Juicy. The second song was really filling up those jeans.
Oh, man.
The third song was The Cream's Gushing Now.
Oh, wow.
And the encore was Squirts Away. And
that filled 18 minutes.
And
it
filled
it up real good.
I was looking at my crush just fucking rubbing her bean out. I was like, I like that girl so much. And she was just, bop, 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 squishy, squishy.
And this
teacher was like squirting milk out her left tit and fucking sucking her nipples. And I'm like, this has nothing.
Little Miss Sunshine come out already?
No.
Okay.
It was the semester. This was.
They just knew that it happened.
Let me think. I'll tell you exactly when this was. 2005. February 2005.
Okay.
And then the final performance must have been May or something, 2005. All
right.
You know, so some teachers, you know, they are not going to like you.
No.
No matter what you do.
No.
You just rub them the wrong way. And I think that me doing stand-up and having that kind of like maybe aggro male kind of perspective.
So where you feel like, I mean, like, I feel like, you know, comedians are like, you have to be a little aggro, compete a little bit, even if it's mentally or jokily, whatever. Like, you have to one up the other person.
Well, you so gotta be the top dog in the room.
Funniest, yeah, exactly, right. Yeah. So,
you ever fuck around with stand up? You doing improv? What are you doing?
Dude, lately, like, I have actually worked on stand up routines, but I have not gone up yet. But,
wow.
Yeah, I know. And that's like the one thing I'm scared of, to be honest.
Could I take you out and stop popping your cherry, bro?
I mean, I need someone to do it, so hit me up.
All right.
What I need is, like, deadlines, so I'm like, all right, I got to go out here and, like, have this much of material. Like, when you go up for open, I don't know, you probably do more than open mics at this point, but for an open mic, what do you get, like 3 to 5 minutes? Or?
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, New Orleans is so much better than here for open mic stand-up.
Really?
Let me tell you this.
Well, out here, there's just so much of it.
Right? Dude, but, okay, I would go up 6 nights a week. I would wait an average of 20 minutes to an hour and get between 5 and 8 minutes.
Okay.
Here, how about Monday? Let's go to the Comedy Store. Okay, well, 450 people sign up, 20 get on.
Oh, wow.
So it's like 430 people go home with nothing.
And they're waiting there the whole night? Or? Yeah,
they're waiting there from 6, the list goes out, it's done by 6:25.
Okay.
They post the list of the 20 that made it at 7.
And is it people that have gone up before, or... They're kind of drawn from a hat.
They're drawn from God knows what. It's based on a little bit of favoritism, a little bit of random chance. I think that some of them, they'll cut the list up into a piece of paper and then draw out of a hat for at least half. But okay. I think 10 of those They've 10 are probably selected. Some. Yeah, and 10 of those 10 are probably drawn from a bucket, I assume. To make it fair, but do you know how much time they get? 3 minutes. Okay, so you're talking about, like, you want to get some practice in. Okay, so I get no time at the store. Okay, let me go to this other mic. Mm-hmm. But it's like there's like less than zero audience at these mics, because it's either two comics waiting to go up and that's the only people in a giant warehouse, or, you know, people talking at a bar during a football game and they will not turn the football game off with the volume on. That's not a show. That's got nothing to do with the show.
Right.
So it's like, or every Monday night, there's Comic Strip at Siberia. I get 7 minutes. That's a comedy show and burlesque show. You get some free drinks.
Yeah.
You get 8 minutes to a room full of 60 people that are there to watch a show. So when you start murdering that room every week, you start going, well, I'm pretty fucking good, you know? Then you come back here, then I move back here, and I'm like, I can't even get up, man.
Yeah.
But I'm auditioning. I'm doing some shows at the Ice House, but it's way slower going.
Yeah.
I'm going to roast battle at the Comedy Store May 22nd against Brian McDaniel.
Ooh.
Tuesday, May 22nd, about a month from now.
So do you have to research about him beforehand?
We're going to meet a week from today. We're going to meet next Tuesday and hang out at Mel's and gather information about each other.
Ammo.
And then write some jokes. But I'm excited. That's going to be my third roast battle.
That's cool.
Those are scary. Those scare me, though, man.
The roast battles, I'm sure.
You know about that?
I don't know much about it, but I imagine it in my head, and
it's like
it seems super fucking scary.
It is scary. My best joke ever, I was playing this guy, roast battling this guy, Keith Carey, and I go, like, he's kind of a fat guy, you know? Yeah. So I go, Keith Carey is so ugly, the only way he can get a girl wet is if he pees in her pussy.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I also said, Keith Carey's been abused by so many stepdads, the only way he can get an erection is if he's told he throws a baseball like a queer.
It's a good one. It's got layers to it.
I was a stepdad around that time, so that's where that came from. Mm. That was a really crazy thing, being a low-key stepdad. Like, having this kid look at you and he's like, no, you are the father figure. You know,
I'm gonna need you to be like the father figure so that my mom stops.
I know, this dude, other the guy. Whole thing was crazy. Yeah,
that's crazy, dude.
The responsibility, and I took it serious, you know. And I did think, like, there were some certain times where, like, we would be hanging out, like, walking through a park or whatever, probably while his mom was home, so I can never dare. And we'd be hanging out together, having some man time.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, like, if anyone tried to touch this kid, I would fucking kill him. Like, kill right. him.
Sure. Yeah.
I was having those kinds of weird thoughts, you know?
Yeah.
You ever date a girl with a kid? You ever get a
girl? I would say be friends with and...
have some special
do stuff with at the same time, yeah, with kids. Yeah, it was. There's a girl now that has three kids that we've been talking, and nothing super duper has happened yet.
Do the kids recognize you?
Oh, I haven't met them yet.
Oh, okay.
There have been past.
Wait till you go to jail.
Yeah. Actually, there's like a couple of mothers that I've been involved with, but I have not met their kids.
Yeah.
I think that's just the sweet spot right there. It's yeah. Not meeting the kids yet. Yeah.
And then the girlfriend after that girl cheated on me, too. So I started seeing a therapist because I was like, what the fuck is going on with these cheating whores? I don't understand. Right. I get it. Like, some girls, they're walking around, they're hot, you know. They're like, oh, my God, my pussy's so tight.
Well, there's a reason that you want them, right? Like, they're super hot.
Right, right.
Definitely other dudes are thinking the same thing.
I know.
And there's other dudes that are like, ooh, I got... more whatevers.
But that girl, like, even after we were broken up, like, twice, four times, like, she would still, like, be like, oh, can you get him from the school while I'm, like, with other dudes now? You know what I mean? Like,
So were you having sex with her when you were taking care of her kid?
Was I having sex with her?
Like, so you were having
my girlfriend. Yeah, yeah.
Right, right. So, like, towards the end, though.
Right.
Like, when this guy was involved.
Right.
Like, how much sex were you having with her?
She was a sociopath. Like, she did not have feelings. I don't think she had feelings. Like, okay, she would just... like, everything kind of remained normal.
Okay.
But
so, did you have sex with her?
Yes.
At the end? Like, when did the sex stop? You know,
it wasn't the sex.
When it stops happening, you know that it's happening with someone else.
Right. Like, but it wasn't necessarily the sex stopping. It was that she would be argumentative for no reason. It would seem to me like she would artificially create drama. That's to say, oh, this isn't working out anyway. That's why I had to. In her head,
right.
She would go cheat. She's got secrets. Mm-hmm. I come over with Chinese food. I'm Dr. Nice Guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She's got no reason to be causing arguments with me.
Right.
But all of a sudden, it's like, well, where were you last night? Well, I was with my friend John. We were doing a show. Remember I told you about that? I know, but I called you. You didn't answer. I was on stage. I turned my phone off. But, you know, like... so that's her almost telling me I was doing shit because I thought you were doing shit.
Or she's just making excuses to...
or whatever. Yeah. She was definitely being way more argumentative. Like, it was not things that was...
that's annoying.
...happening. I was being friendly, but, you know, and everything. But she was just creating this for no reason because she needed, like, obstacles in the relationship or something. I don't know. Or she needed to justify her. Sounds like she wanted,
justifying an excuse or whatever. Who knows when she met this other guy, you know?
Or if he was the only other guy. That's the other thing. It's like, don't know.
Yeah, you don't know.
And, but I'm just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm big on, if you say boyfriend, girlfriend, that is a very serious social contract.
Yeah. It is for me, and that's why, like, when I I've been in situations, of course, where, you know, with girls where, you know, they've wanted to be boyfriend, girlfriend, and I'm like, I just, like, I want it, but, like, I, there's something in my head where I'm like, no, like, not everything is fitting in exactly the way it should be fitting in, and I don't, and then there's girls that I'm glad have said, and I feel lucky that have said no to me,
right,
when they knew that it wasn't exactly what they wanted. They weren't just stringing me along. And I think, you know, whoever that girl was, like, she was just, like, at some point, like, I think she, you know, liked you in the beginning, but, you know, got comfortable. And
I just think, like, she wants dudes to just do favors. That she really doesn't want a boyfriend or anything. She just wants people around that do stuff for free.
Favors as in either, like, taking care of her kids or, like, you know, fucking her to where she gets an orgasm, you know. Favors are favors, right?
Like, but, yeah. But I just think it's, like, I'm saying the only way that you're going to get that stuff is if it's one person. No. It's not going to be multiple people who do shit for you. It's got to be, like, commit your pussy to one person. Make them feel like a great thing is going on here with your hot pussy. And then they'll do favors for you, and it'll be an exchange. But it's just like, for her, it was just like, extract.
Sure.
And it was like, at a certain point, I'm going, what am I getting out of this?
It's very immature. You know? Yeah.
It's like, okay, I'll do the hero stepdad thing. I'll do that role, you know? But what I need back is, like, extreme loyalty. You know what I'm saying? Like, not like if you leave, I'm going to say, oh, you were sucking that Jew dick. But, you know, the basic.
Yeah.
But we didn't, I don't know. I didn't trust her because she was fucking around all the time. But anyway, I don't know. I'm just focused on the come up now.
Yeah.
I'm focused on selling screenplays. I'm going to shoot a stand-up special, actually.
Dude,
on the cheap. September 1st to 10.
Where is that?
September 1st to 18th. I'll tell you where it is. Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Denver, Dallas, Austin.
So you're going to have
Houston,
like...
New Orleans. I'm going to actually move back to New York City.
Okay.
But on the way from LA...
But like, so are you going to have it recorded at each place?
Yes.
And then
I
kind of get the best of each one?
I'm going to do like... I've already done one. I'm going to do 5 more shows here and then go on the road for 18 days.
Mm.
But I'm excited.
And get it set up to where, like, you're fucking performing in each place. Yeah.
And I have I have it, like, half booked right now.
Yeah.
But I'm working on Dallas and Houston, I'm good. Dallas and Austin and Charlotte, North Carolina, I got to figure out. But, you know, I'm working on it, so...
Hell yeah.
We'll see what happens there. And if I got a good roast battle on the May 22nd, maybe that'll go in there. You know, Uncle Eric's making moves across Chinatown
Uncle
here.
Uncle Eric.
Look,
is that your new name now?
It's a title I've received the natural way. My sister
what
had
is
a
the
baby.
Natural? Oh, okay. Like, which natural way? You're like, call me uncle, bitch. Yes, uncle.
You know, I got a little sugar mama.
That's the
in
natural
prison.
Way. Right. You're calling someone else. Anyway,
we're way off track. But look, I'm just focused on, like, stand-up. The problem with stand-up in Los Angeles, you know, is I can't even get on stage out here. And so I've been kind of going crazy because for 3 years I was doing
it six
nights a week. I move here. I'm getting up like once every other month.
Doesn't
just
make any sense.
From opportunity. Yeah. So I need to shoot a special so I can go to New York and use that special as a passport to go, okay, I'm playing the Stand here. I'm playing the Cellar here. I'm playing Gotham here.
Right.
And everything's cool. So I just need to break that bubble, you know?
Okay, yeah.
So that's what I'm focused on. But I don't know, dude. I thought that, you know, I bet if I got a master in screenwriting in 1968, I could come to Los Angeles and walk into Warner Brothers, and they're like, God damn, we needed someone like you. Okay,
right.
We're going to give you a 5-pitch a deal. You're going to meet Greta Garbo's. She's going to suck your dick twice.
Oh, cool.
To make you feel welcome.
I'm going to suck your dick.
That's what she walks in, files like, papers. Oh, no. I'm going to suck your dick.
I actually just
dick.
Wanted to sign this contract. Like, no, I'm going to suck your dick.
The confidence.
I will actually, okay.
Greta Garbo, more like Greta Garbo balls.
So you, so you got a writing degree.
Yeah, nobody cares. Dude, I'm calling these agents. You know, I'm sending them my script in the mail. They're like, do you have a reference? I'm going, other than 7 years of school, bitch! You know what I mean?
Well, do you say that?
I get blackout anger. is that the problem?
The blackout anger?
Why aren't these hoes reading my scripts? I'm cordial on the phone.
Yeah.
I'm cordial.
That's...
But a man's got
children
passions.
Are afraid of me, so that means I'm passionate.
Can't they see how passionate? Yeah, give me a contract, for Christ's sake.
Do you see the look on their face and how scared they are in front of my presence right now?
I smelled out Gerbo's fucking Jersey accent on the phone. I smelled that cockroach breath. I know she's really hiding her Jew gold.
Did you know that lobsters... Which I guess are the cockroaches of the sea. Well, I guess
family?
That's more like shrimp, right?
But well, crawfish, too, I'm sure, are like a cockroach. And
a little cockroach.
New Orleans people eat crawfish like a motherfucker.
So good, though. But lobster used to be for the peasants.
I know.
Isn't that crazy?
It used to be...
Like, give it to people that are in prison 3 days a week.
And oysters. You know, in New York...
I would love to be in prison.
I know, dude. In New York Harbor... all the people that build the skyscrapers of New York City, it was in their contracts, we only eat oysters 3 days a week. Because...
Only.
The oysters were the size of, like, a table or, like, a dinner plate. They were this big. So it's,
oh
like...
My
it's, like,
God,
six eggs
like...
worth of protein, you know? But because the dinosaurs were the last thing that fucking shat on a oyster. Like, I'm just saying they were growing for like 300 years. But now you don't even get oysters. Now that
no, yeah, because we fucking raped them of their size.
By eating
can
them.
Can I
all.
Say that?
I guess so. But can you imagine the boners you would have while you're putting a skyscraper together after eating a dinner plate size?
Dude, that's where catcalling came from, because it just had these raging boners. And they're like, hey, honey, please,
hey, honey.
God, just come over here and look at my Woody over here. Please, Jesus Christ.
Baby, go. Woo, 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 woo.
Oh, man, that's why oysters are the cataclyst of catcalist of catcalling.
Yeah, it's like a legal Cosby, though. You know, you can still take a girl out for oysters and drug her with food and get her all horny.
Is that a thing now? Like, call it the legal Cosby?
I'm saying you could drug a girl with food. That's a legal Cosby.
But that's a legal term now, right?
But I took that hippie Texas yoga meal. Our first date was oysters, raw oysters, because I'm like... I know
you're smart. You're smart. Yeah.
You know, hey, we're just going out to dinner.
That's why they're so expensive now, because you're like, oh, guys will pay to get their rocks off. And
get their rocks off.
What is it, like $24 for a dozen now?
Yeah, it's about
ridiculous.
That. Yeah. But there's something, look, when you and a girl are you know, sucking the goo off the shell. You're like, this bitch is down for it. You know what I'm saying?
She's all like...
Yeah.
I'm ready for another oyster.
It's all, but it's really all just magnesium content.
Yeah.
You know, just basic vitamins get to the right area.
I mean, where isn't the right area?
Science just happens. I know. Go to the Abbey. They'll pinch you everywhere.
Dude, there's so many right areas at the Abbey. And there's a lot of wrong areas, too.
But those are the best ones.
Those are the right ones.
So you really go to the Abbey just to hit on girls? Because they're like, hey, this is a gay club, so if a straight guy hits on a girl here, they're taken off guard.
Dude, I mean, I'm going to be honest. Like, I like to go there and... just dance, you know, and just get my dance rocks off.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because I mean, at that point at night, you know, after 2 a.m., I can't get my dick up at that point. Yeah. I'm fucking wasted, you know? Like, am I going to bring someone home? Like, if anything, I'll hopefully make a date for the next day. But there's been actually a couple girls that, you know, were leaving the next day that were foreigners or whatever, right? You know, that we hung out. And, you know, we just hung out as friends and...
That's great.
You know, there was some making out or whatever, but I'm like, it's just too much of a hassle to try and get my...
I know.
Let me call you tomorrow when my dick works again.
Yeah, please. You know, it always works in the morning.
Yeah.
Which is great. But...
bad for Julian Assange.
That's why you want to go to after-hours clubs. So by the time you... get out of the club at 6 a.m. Get back to your place 7:30.
Oh,
you fucking rock.
Rock hard.
Okay.
That's the problem with
ready to go.
Getting in your 30s, you know, your testosterone starts dripping down slowly, you know. I remember I could still like...
And I'll lick a pussy like it's nobody's business. But, you know, and that's fun. But, in the, you know, sometimes... That enough is an ego trip to where I'm like, I felt like I had like an ego-asm. Like, you know, fucking this girl that just like went crazy from what I did.
Yeah.
You know?
No,
I don't have to fucking get off necessarily, but, you know, it's always nice getting up, especially in the morning.
I know. No, I've definitely been there where I'm so drunk and then you just eat a girl's pussy, you just pretend it's nachos. You know, you just pretend you're getting your beer munchies in. You
exactly. You're getting your carbs.
Your dick doesn't work anyway, so you're just like,
yeah.
It's just nachos, so I'll just munch this box for a minute here.
I mean, I don't fuck nachos. Not all the time, but I eat them all
Should
the time.
Should I go to Jack in the Box or just eat this box? You know what I'm saying? Jack off in this box?
Crack in the box, or am I going to in the box? You know what I'm saying?
You going to poo in a girl's butthole?
Poon a girl's bottle.
Poo. You ever do shit?
Poo in.
A girl. You ever do poo play?
It's like a reverse human centipede.
Yeah. Like you just share
ass to ass.
Drop deuce.
Butthole.
You just butthole. You just share peasants in each other's poo palace.
Mm.
Yeah, would you not like another loyal soldier? And then you just poo in her butt. And then she gets little poo soldiers in her palace that she can reign over.
It's like that Eminem song. Poo soldiers. Okay.
I don't remember that
song. You remember that one?
That's a deep cut.
That was on my Gestalt's Greatest Hits.
Mm.
And that was actually the... I had... 25 volumes of it from 1999 till 2006 of all the my favorite popular songs at the time. I was just making mix CDs and I kept volume after volume after volume, and that one was on like volume 24.
Wow.
2005.
Deep cut.
Think about it.
We left a little detail off the table here.
Now, oh boy.
You went from California, you were growing weed.
Yeah.
Then the crackhead had PTSD again. Is that when you decided, all right, fuck this place, I'm going back to LA?
No, actually. So that was around, like, I was staying in this house with my other friends / co-workers.
Harvesting and, weed.
Yep. Growing it at that point. And then I was like, yeah, I'm just not going to go into that place. And the room that I had, which was like the upstairs office area. So I knew eventually it was going to turn into the trim house.
Right.
So my... area upstairs from myself became at some point, there were about 13 other people sleeping in that room at one point, and then like right outside the room like four other people, and So the last 2 months was, it was just a trim house. Most were women in there, very cute women. And when the trimming stopped happening, and the music came on, as a straight man, I was like, chillin'. And the titties were out, my friend. They were out in full effect.
What did they look like?
They were great. And you know what's great? After the fact, after 2 months of just seeing, you know, titties a lot every night.
Because people are just changing there.
No.
They're taking them off for you. They're sexually.
Not for me, you know, specifically, but like, you know, music would be happening and like, everyone, they were hippies, you know, like, let's be honest.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Free love, like, right, free right. The nipple.
Right.
Okay?
It's politics.
Just get that fucking nipple out for once in your life, right?
Yeah.
And I was, you know, I like having my nipple out, too, you know?
Oh, so you would kind of...
I'm a free nipple guy.
You would start the party, you would say, oh, maybe it's hot in here, let me take my shirt off.
I was like, look at this nipple. Isn't your nipple look better than mine? Why isn't yours out?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It didn't happen exactly like that, but nipples came out.
Nice.
And even after that, then we got on a Facebook group and a Snapchat group, where even to this day, there's still girls just like, hey, check out me. I'm naked right now. And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
God bless
him. If I did not go to this trip camp, I just wouldn't see as many titties, like, you know, sent to me and, like, in front of my face. Mm-hmm. You know, we've all got the internet.
Right.
Yeah, but we've all got it.
The live nipple, that's a
live nipple,
rare
you
one.
Can't beat the live nipple. Yeah. And you're not, like, going to a burlesque show or, like, mm-hmm. you know, paying for it.
Right. It's out of natural. It's just, like, yeah. the way it was supposed to be seen.
Exactly. Like, but, Adam and Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm Adam. Every other person with a nipple out is Eve.
So there was just like, you were sleeping in the same room as like 12 other girls.
Did you? Well, I wouldn't say like, they were 12. There was say, majority
eight,
women.
Eight girls.
I would say
35%
guys.
Okay.
And 65% girls.
Yeah. So did you
and
get
like
laid
everyone?
With these
was fucking cool.
Did you get laid with these hippies?
I got laid before the hippies, which was actually a pretty nice lay. But yeah, these I because I was like the boss, or like one of the managers of the place, and I was like,
you couldn't Weinstein it.
I there was one girl like I was definitely interested in and wanted to do stuff with, but I felt uncomfortable in that aspect. Yeah.
Listen, Susan, your job's on the line here.
We just sent you home.
I'm
going to
take this out and start touching it.
If you're going to follow my lead, you're going to follow my lead. If not,
look, I thought about free the nipple. Let's free the coochie.
Free the tip.
More of a philosophical thing. I'm not a perv or nothing. Wow, God bless you.
Yeah, so it was a great time.
Well, you just got run out.
It was also crazy, you know, like with the politics and county shit with, like, you know,
right.
wanting, you know, denying and, you know, accepting of people growing there. And they actually, like, the county is very sneaky. They, up until January, you know, they were for accepting people growing weed. And then once it was time for everyone to pay the taxes, once everybody paid the taxes in January, then they made it illegal for people to grow. Mm. And now they're getting hit with lawsuits and everything from the growers and blah, blah, blah. And there's even some growers that don't want it to be legal because they make more money when it isn't legal, right, with the taxes. Because this year we had to pay taxes for growing, which were about 40%, and then when you sell it, you have to pay another 30%. It's insane. Like,
they're literally coming between God and the plant and putting like Uncle Sam there, like, yo, where's my fucking cash?
Seriously.
It's like, but from the plant growing, though, you need cash.
And now it's legal, but like anyone that is growing and like selling and shit, like, is getting fucked so hard. People, and when you go and buy it from the dispensary, like, even if you have
a medical marijuana card,
you're getting charged 25%. If you don't, you're getting charged 35%.
Right.
Like, California is going to be fucking rich as shit in 1 year.
But it's kind of a schizophrenic law, because it's, like, illegal to charge taxes on prescription pills, though, because that's medicine that you need to live. So they're
doing it here.
This is in between medicine and a recreational substance that needs to be taxed, like tobacco.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Just because it's a better cure for everything than anything that the pharmaceutical companies have, and suck those fucking cocksuckers' dicks.
I mean, yeah, especially the CBD oil,
right?
I mean, the benefits that does is ridiculous and
undeniable, really, and been proven multiple times. Yeah. Stop seizures.
Yep.
Wow.
And so now people have to pay 25% tax on that when they know that it works.
And 40% for God growing it.
Yep.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's like, it's almost like there's like a vine and a pumpkin, and that's bringing nutrients from the soil to the pumpkin itself. And Uncle Sam's going, I want 40% of that calcium. Mm-hmm. Like, it's that fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ugh. 40% for the growth. What does that even mean?
Yeah. Does it make sense?
It's like, oh, I grow to be 6 foot, but because of taxes, I'm 5 foot two.
And you know what it is, actually? I think it's off of each pot. So the bigger plant you can grow off of, you know, one pot, the better. But, like, we, at the beginning of the season, started late. And when I say we, I don't mean me particularly, but...
Kind of the PTSD crackheads.
Yeah.
Right.
They didn't have too much to do at the beginning, thank God. But, yeah. It just wasn't as fruitful as when I originally thought, and I signed on for it.
So when you say by the pot, so you mean like per plant, every plant is taxed?
I actually don't want to be quoted
in a legal sense
on this, but I think if you have like more yield on per pot, like, you're going to get more money. Like, they're...
Yeah, well, when you say...
taxing on each one, yeah.
When you say per pot...
Per plant.
Plant, okay. Yeah. So the bigger the plant, if it's a massive
orange
tree, you're getting taxed per orange tree, but that one grows 300 oranges, this one
grows
10.
Well, no, you're getting taxed, like, per the pot.
Right.
So, like, doesn't matter how big or small it is, like...
Oh, for the weight of the cannabis when it's picked.
I don't know. I'm going to have to look into this.
God.
So are you.
What tax man's dick do I suck? I will suck
your dick. All I know is I am not getting nearly enough as what I thought that I was.
So it was sold to you like, hey, you can be a farmer. You know, it's a different life out here. It's slower pace. All the bud you can smoke, you know. You'll make a lot of money, you know. Yeah. You'll be swimming in pot and cash, and you're like, hey,
figured, you know, I'll try it out for a year. And, you know, from what my friend said, I could make $30,000 to $90,000, you know, in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not the case.
Like, not the case.
No.
Because Uncle Sam came and said, I want this money at this growth phase.
Yeah, yeah.
Then, oh, you're going to cut the plant. Yeah. I want this money.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to call the dispensary. I want that money. Oh, you're going to make the transaction.
It was
transaction.
Definitely
I want
well under $30,000 for that year. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ugh, Uncle Sam.
I mean, but it was fun. It was a great experience, you know. Like, there were quite a few days that we... You know, me and another friend, we would go out to a farm. We're like, it's naked watering day today. You know what that means? We get naked. And, you know, they go on a lower terrace. I start on an upper terrace. So we don't have to see each other's dicks. Okay?
This is a true story?
Yes.
Okay.
And he fucking water naked. What? And I actually got a pretty decent tan. And I still do not have the farmer's tan yet. And that's what I've been trying to, like, stave off is, like, that's what I've always had is that fucking, like, nice tan right here. And then, oh, it's so white.
Wow.
Right here and up, right?
So, is so the
like,
point
out
of-
there, I would, like, at least get, even get, like, my ass had never seen the sun before that point. And it saw the sun, like... I mean, isn't that worth it? Like, that your ass would see the sun, the daylight?
I guess so. Like, yeah. Was that the first, that you were, like, indoctrinated by the hippies a little bit, it seems? Like,
oh, definitely, yeah.
What other hippie philosophy did they expose to you?
Well, you know what they exposed to me a lot is the smell of dreadlocks, and I'm still not a fan. I'm just going to be honest.
Well, like, you're into the nipple stuff, though.
Oh, I like nipple dreads.
What about the hairy armpits? Where the hot girls have hairy armpits?
Some would.
Yeah. And it's like...
I mean, you know, there's going to be hot, cute, pretty girls regardless of how much hair they have on themselves. Like, you're going to look at them and you're like, oh my God, like, you know, it's just a beautiful person inside and out.
Yeah.
But there's, out of every... hair follicle area that could be growing hair. There's hair growing out of her. She just doesn't like try to, you know, impress you with smooth, soft, non-hairy skin.
Look, she can do whatever she wants with her body, exactly. But the level of favors that Uncle Eric is going to do for a hot girl clean shaven versus a hot girl with armpit hair, that like the level I'm going to try to attain that person starts to click.
Well, you
way
know what's
down.
Interesting actually is I feel like girls like you more when you try to do less favors in the beginning when you're like not as impressed.
That's so my the problem.
And same with me. Like, and the girls that are fucking hairy as shit are going to see that and you're. Your apathy towards them and be like, oh, I'm gonna fucking make him lick my hairy ass pussy.
Maybe I'll even, maybe I'll just, I won't shave it, but I'll,
so
I'll
you
brush,
flip it.
I'll brush my hair today. Then,
yeah, exactly. Pet. Like, any girls that you like are super attracted to with no hair on their bodies, you're like, ew, gross.
Mm-hmm.
Get a life. Like,
let it grow. Yeah. What are you doing grooming?
And then she'll be like, oh my God, I'm going to make him lick my bald pussy.
But when you're shaving, that's time that you could just be you, more you though. With you.
That's true. You know, with you.
Ugh. So you're nude. What's the point though? Aren't you worried about like ticks going in your butthole or...
Always. It's great.
A coyote nibbling your gibbets off.
Gibbets? Not giblets?
Whatever. No, you're not worried about animal life?
There. You know, I feel like there's more coyotes in the Hollywood Hills than there are anywhere else. So.
Mm-hmm. No, I see coyotes all the time.
Yeah. Especially getting them cats.
Eating cats?
Eating cats. I had a friend... friend whose sister lives in the Hollywood Hills and her cat absolutely got eaten by coyotes. Yeah.
Doesn't surprise me. I see them all the time just eating garbage or just, you know, walking around neighborhoods.
Right.
I think
wishing it was cats.
Well, I just think humans leave a lot of food out.
Yeah.
If you have a grill, you know, people just leave stuff out and, you know. Wow, we've had a quite...
Was this a good session? Like,
quite
what time
a
we
session.
Got here?
I know.
Yeah? You got enough material?
Probably. 45 minutes, I'm guessing? What? 45 minutes? 10:45. Wait, we started at 9? How long
10:45?
Have we been talking?
Yeah, I got here at like 9:05. Yeah.
We've been talking 90 minutes. An hour 34.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Right?
It is good. Maybe we should sign this bitch off, huh?
That sounds...
So we don't have to...
sounds signable.
Sounds performing.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Any plugs for the people? Where can they find Dr. Ian Longway?
I'm going to be around Hollywood. Just walking around. I like to go to Dave and Buster's on Wednesdays. Half off games.
What's your favorite game?
So there is this game that is probably the oldest game that they have there, right? But on Wednesdays, it's only 5 credits, right? But in those 5 credits, easily, you could get 200 tickets, right?
Oh.
So it's a stacking game where it's like literally just a, like a whole tower of red LED lights, like all the way up. And you're just getting these blocks to stop right here. And then it's going side by side, stopping right here. And you're just clicking where it stops. And once it gets up to the 200 mark, you can cash out. Or you can try 4 more stops. 4 more blocks up and get the 1,000. But that's where it fucks up on you, I'm telling you right now, dude. Because I have so many times gotten the 200 easily, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm on this fucking groove. Boom, 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 boom.
That's a race car in the red.
Get it up there, right? And then right at the 1,000, I hit it exactly where it should be, and it fucking cheats on me.
Whoa.
And it goes 1 over, and the thing falls down.
And you get nothing.
And I get nothing.
Right.
Exactly. That's how the game works, right? So I always cash out at 200.
Yeah.
Every time. So I just rack up my fucking card. And the last time I was there, I got a PS4 game off of that shit.
What
so,
the fuck? Well, if you're in the Hollywood area, go to Dave and Buster's on Wednesday. And
yeah, Wednesdays.
You'll see Ian autistically playing...
I think you mean autistically crushing it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, did I say that?
You didn't say that.
Okay.
You should say that.
I will be at the World Famous Comedy Store May 22nd, roast battling Brian McDaniel, and I will make him wear a dress.
Will you, though?
Then September 2nd, I will be at the Ice House in Pasadena, followed by a tour across the country. If you live anywhere in the United States, you might see Dr. Hollaback there, especially if it's not...
in Hollywood. Hollywood's in the United States.
Well, and I'm not going to the north part of the United States. I'm going from the south. So, you know...
The lower coastal area.
Be my friend. At Harry Hollaback on Twitter, and that same shit on Facebook. That's been another episode of Highway Motherfucking Diary. Go on YouTube, check out a little thing called Damien Shadows.
That
PI, psychic investigator.
That's back in the day, right there.
So we went to Shriekfest, you know, it had a great premiere.
Crush it there, yeah.
Crush it there, got big laughs.
Yeah.
Then there's we made a couple web episodes. That's so it's still...
And then Dr., what's his name?
Oh, Wilhelm Skeptisch.
Wilhelm Skeptisch. Yeah, he's a good...
Played by...
That was a fun...
Calder Hallbrook.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Calling out Calder Damien.
Calder rocked it on that.
Calling out Damien on all his bullshit.
Yeah.
So, good stuff. So
it added a lot of levels to that project.
Meta levels.
So many metas.
So check out Damien Shadows, PI. Yeah. And also I'm going to be talking to Garrett Penwell, hopefully this month, who had a big part in the... Remember, we also made a movie because it was a Theater of the Deranged 2.
Yep, we did some
Host segments
that,
for that.
Yep.
So, and then if
those
you remember...
super special.
If you remember the guy who was selling me ghost equipment... Remember,
is that who you're talking to next?
Is Garrett Penwell.
Oh, wow.
And so he's going to be on the podcast soon, too.
Yeah.
Look forward to that. It's a very insular group. That's been another episode of the Highway.
Very insulated, right?
Insulated?
Insulated group.
And listen.
Anyways.
Uncle Eric is the professor that loves you and does not favor the other students. I love you and you only.
Other students.
Smoke pot, worship aliens. Later.